Oftentimes, war means leaving the place you know behind, but it doesn't always have to mean losing touch with home. In the next part of our series on World War II veterans, we tell the story of about 20 men from a small western Massachusetts town who answered the call of duty the best way they knew how.
19 of us that joined the 10th Mountain Division, and we all used to ski the Thunderbolt.
Before Art Borden made his way to Colorado and the mountains of Italy during World War II as a member of the Army's 10th Mountain Division, he honed his skiing skills on Mount Greylock's Thunderbolt Trail in Adams, Massachusetts.
It's a rough trail, and when we were skiing it, the equipment we had was practically nothing, you know. Just a strap or on a ski.
The Thunderbolt is a dicey descent with practically a 90-degree turn down the highest peak in Massachusetts. After its inaugural race in 1935, the trail garnered the attention of Olympians from across the world and served as the site of championship races for what is now the United States Ski and Snowboard Association. And in a bit of eerie foreshadowing, it even drew the attention of a nation that would alter the lives of the men from Adams.
Hitler sent a team over here before World War II.
Heather Lynn Scott's father, Bill, skied Greylock and also served in the 10th. She is a founding member of the Thunderbolt Ski Runners, which celebrates the trail and the people who skied it. The Thunderbolt is still skied today, highlighted by an annual race, the way it was back when Lynn Scott, Borden, and his buddies braved it, by hiking up and then skiing back down. If you want another run, you better start hiking again.
So all these guys from Adams grow up, you know, they cut their teeth skiing on the Thunderbolt, you know, as teenagers, you know, 13, 14, 15, 16 in Adams with the mountain in their backyard, basically. And then they become very proficient skiers. And in the early 40s, the first U.S. Mountain Division, the 10th Mountain Division, is formed out in Colorado. And these guys, you know, you had to have three letters of recommendation just to get in. So you had to go to, you know, local people in the area who could, you know, kind of testify as to your mountaineering skills, your ski skills. So these guys all get their three letters, and they're just volunteering like crazy to go into the 10th Mountain Division.
Blair Mahar also helped form the Thunderbolt Ski Runners. His 1999 documentary, Purple Mountain Majesty, tells the story of the Adams men who volunteered their mountaineering skills in service to the country.
It seemed like probably, and I'm guessing, a shoo-in that, you know, yeah, this is the right thing to do. If we're going to go to the war, let's get into the ski troops because we can ski.
In the early 1940s, the men went to Camp Hale in Colorado for mountaineering and cold weather survival training, where they were divided into three regiments.
When I was a kid, he would put us to bed at night, and he'd talk about how they'd ski and they'd like dig snow caves. And then they'd roll a big ball of snow in front of the door so that the Germans wouldn't know where they were. Now, I don't know how much of that was, you know, made up for a fairy tale for a little kid going to bed. But, I mean, they did go out in Colorado, and they learned, it was called D-Series. They learned how to live in the snow. They had to go out for, like, I don't know, 7 days and live in the snow.
They were then sent to Italy's Apennine Mountains. Borden recalls one night when his platoon attacked a mountaintop village.
We got separated, and I told the lieutenant we were separated. He says, and I was a runner. I was a sergeant, but I was also a runner. He says, well, sergeant, go back and get them. So I went back down the mountain. We were almost on top. Went back down the mountain, and in the dark, 3 o'clock in the morning, I know these guys were near a cliff. And I thought I didn't hit it in the right spot, but I was right above them. So I was talking to them, telling them to go to my left, and I'd pick them up. We'd go back up the mountain. And the rocks beneath my feet let go, and down I went. Landed on the ground, hurt my back. You see, I had a box of machine gun ammunition in my pack in the back, and I landed on that and hurt my back and ended up in the hospital for 13 days.
But that wasn't the end of Borden's time in Italy.
The boys went up and did a good job, And later on, I joined them back up again, and we ended up in the Po Valley on April 20th. No, that was my birthday. April 20th was the first day into the Po Valley from the Apennine Mountains. Well, that's how I remembered it. I said, oh, my God, first day in the Po Valley, 20th of April. Oh, my God, that's my birthday, 21 years old.
Between 1944 and 45, the 10th Mountain Division's focus was taking Riva Ridge from the Germans so they couldn't survey U.S. positions below. And it's where we join up with Bill Linscott. In this interview for the documentary Purple Mountain Majesty, Linscott describes what happened there during the war and years later.
I'd gotten shot April 1st of 1945, and I lost all my equipment when I went back to the hospital. Then 50 years later, we went back over to Italy and up into the mountains, and a group of fellows that I wasn't with walked into this farmyard at the foot of a mountain, and this woman was feeding her chickens with this canteen cup, and one of the guys asked if he could take a look at it, and she said, sure, and he went over to the spring and he cleaned it off. And
they turned it over. My father's name was at the bottom of it.
That cup now sits in the Adams Visitor Center as part of a museum honoring the locals who served in the 10th. Blair Mahar notes a figure from the book The Boys of Winter, Life and Death in the U.S. Ski Troops During the Second World War.
More men from Adams went into the 10th Mountain Division during World War II per capita than any other town in America. So we're a small town, but per capita, we sent a lot of boys off to the 10th.
We lost one man, Rudy Konecny.
They talk about, you know, Rudy hiking up that mountain. If it snowed, he didn't go to work. He went up on the mountain. Or he didn't work in the winter. He skied. And that's the way a lot of us guys feel, guys and girls, that are in the Thunderbolt Ski Runners. We're like, yeah, that's, you know, we eat, sleep, and live powder snow, you know. And I mean, when they say, you know, Rudy hiked up that mountain, I mean, we, a lot of the people that hike up there and started this club, that's what we love. We are all part of Rudy.
Borden says just about every man from Adams in the 10th was awarded a Purple Heart.
All of us were hurt or wounded. I fell off a cliff and got hurt, but that, you don't get any medals for that.
Returning to Adams after the war, Borden says it was just like old times.
We came back, we'd skied the mountain. We had parties up there. We came back, we all joined together, and we put up a ski tow on a golf course in Adams. And we were teaching all the kids how to ski. Three nights a week in the wintertime.
Sadly, none of the 20 or so men from Adams who fought in the 10th remain. Borden died in 2014. I had spoken to him months before.
Bye-bye.
Bill Linscott died in 2001.
Blair says in his film, he says, you know, to ski the Thunderbolt is not just to ski some mountain. You're skiing with those men. You know, it's part of history. And every time I go up there, not every time, but a lot of times I'll go up and I'll be like, you know, I'll think of my dad. You know, and where we skied up there. The first time I skied up there with him.
Today, light from the Massachusetts Veterans War Memorial Tower shines down on Adams and the trail that shaped the lives of 20 of the town's most honorable citizens. Reporting from Adams, Massachusetts, this is Jim Lavoulis for WAMC News.